Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Good morning. I'm so glad to be with you today and grateful that you've tuned in. And I really hope you've enjoyed our recent series, Friendology. It's been great to journey together and learn these lessons of friendships. Over this past year, myself and Deborah and we, Daniel, we've went on a number of different walks together. And we've really enjoyed this time as a family, heading out into the fresh air and enjoying our walks. And in fact, over this past year, research has shown that a recent survey revealed that there's been an increase of 61% in people heading out for walks. Being honest, right at the start of lockdown, we didn't have much options. So we're all heading out for some fresh air. But over these different walks, we've learned some lessons. We've learned as Daniel is growing that he goes at a different pace to mum and dad. As we've been walking together, he's often had to stop and something has taken his attention. It could be an acorn, it could be a twig or a leaf, and he is fascinated with this item. There was one time we were walking together and we're heading towards the swing park and we were almost there. I could see it in the near distance. But Daniel was so fascinated on this leaf. And I kept on saying, come on, we're almost there. Come on, just a few more steps. But he just was so fixed on this leaf. As we were reflecting afterwards, I think we learned a lesson. In the midst of the busyness of life, when everything's fast-paced, everything's come on to the next thing, Daniel taught us that sometimes we just need to slow down and appreciate what's around us, but more importantly, who's around us. If I'm being honest, I probably do miss the hustle and bustle of big crowds, whether that's walking through a busy city centre or airport terminal or waiting to get in through the turnstile at a football match. But probably more so, I've enjoyed this time where we've been able to spend time together as a family. Who are you walking with? And I really believe that it's important that we make sure the people that we go along the journey of life with are people who are for us, people who are positive, people who are adding to our life rather than subtracting. We've looked at this series called Friendology and we've considered our friendship with each other and of course coming from our friendship with God. And another way that we can describe that relationship is our walk with God. We journey through life with God. No one is alone. If you're a believer today, God is with you. But the book of Psalms opens up with the psalmist describing two paths. He talks about the path of the righteous, but he also talks about the path of the wicked. He describes a contrast between both paths. He speaks about the wicked path, which those on that path are like chaff that blow away in the wind. But those who are walking on the righteous path, they are like a tree, which is planted by streams of water. They're fruitful. They prosper in and out of season. But he also talks about the actions and behaviors of those on these paths. For those that are on the wicked, they start off walking together, but they quickly stop. And they stand together, and then eventually they sit. You know, I believe that this is not where God wants you to be. God doesn't want you to stop walking. He doesn't want you to stand with sinners, and he doesn't want you to sit with the mockers. In fact, the life that he came to give to you is one that the blessed man enjoys. That's the life which is fruitful, which is a place of blessing, which is life-giving. And the Bible tells us that those on that path, they're not mocking, they're not sinners, they're people who delight and meditate on the Word of God. I believe that those that we are walking with help us to make sure we're on the right path. The company that we keep tells us a lot about where we're going. You've probably heard it said before, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Jim Rohn said this, that we are the average of the five people we spend the most time with. Well, if that is true, I think it's important that we ensure that those core group of people are good for us, that they're helpful, that they've got our best interests at heart, and they're making sure we continue to walk on the righteous path. So can I ask you today, who are you walking with? Or who should you be walking with? Moses is the greatest leader of the nation of Israel. He's the one who encounters God at the burning bush. He is the representation of the people to God. He's the one who leads them out of captivity. He leads them through the Red Sea. He builds the tabernacle. He receives the Ten Commandments. He's their most successful leader. And after 40 years of observing, his father-in-law, Jethro, is impressed at all that God has done through Moses and this nation. And he recognizes that their God is the one true God. Jethro was not just Moses' father-in-law, he was also a wise friend too. And in Exodus chapter 18, we read this story of when Jethro comes to visit Moses. And let's pick it up together from verse 13. The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people. And they stood around him from morning till evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge while all these people stand around you from morning till evening?" Moses answered him, "Because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and instructions." Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me and I will give you some advice. And may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them his decrees and instructions and show them the way they are to live and how they are to behave. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter, because they will share it with you. If you do this, and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied." Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. Moses spent the whole day listening to people grumble, complain, gurn, and share their grudges. Could you imagine what that must have been like for Moses, listening to all these disputes? Hey, maybe you're thinking right now, that sounds a little bit like my job. That sounds like what I have to do every single day. And you'll agree that that can be draining on you, that that can be an experience that pulls you down. Jethro tells him that this is not good, what you are doing. Moses spent so much time with these people, and I think we need to be careful to be selective about the people that we choose to listen to. Have you asked yourself, or have you determined, that these are the people I will listen to and these are the people I will not listen to? You have to decide that ahead of the time. And everyone, I believe, needs a Jethro. Everyone needs a wise friend. The book of Proverbs teaches us this: walk with the wise and become wise. So I want to share with you briefly two or three reasons why everyone needs a wise friend. Everyone needs a Jethro. His name means preeminence, surpassing all others. Can I ask you, have you got a voice that you listen to above all else? Now, if you know Jesus, the Holy Spirit resides within you, and you're part of his family, just as Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." Of course, we listen to the voice of God, but one of the ways that he communicates to us is, as 1 Corinthians chapter 12 teaches us, that he speaks to us through other believers, through words of wisdom. Do you have people in your world that you have chosen to listen to above others? People who are qualified, people who you trust, people who have the authority to speak into your situations and give you wisdom. See, the first reason that we need a wise friend is that they see the good and the not good. Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you are doing is not good." Jethro was impressed at all their achievements, everything that God had done through Moses and the nation, the supernatural provision in the wilderness, that miraculous deliverance from Egypt. But Jethro was not impressed with Moses' workload. He could see how this was unwise and would have been harmful for Moses in the long run. Jethro's wisdom prevented harm for Moses and the others. You know, I'll be honest, I'm grateful for my parents. My parents, who, when I listened to their wisdom, helped me and prevented me from unnecessary harm. I'm grateful for those wise voices. And as I reflect on my journey, and now as I begin this journey of fatherhood, I'm even more grateful for their wisdom. Sometimes it takes a true friend to help us realize what we are doing is not good. This could be a behavior, it could be a lifestyle choice, it could be an attitude, or it could be a decision, which we cannot see it for ourselves, but someone we trust can see that it's not good for us or for those around us. For example, in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, he writes to the church in Corinth and he gives them instruction and encourages them to use their freedom wisely, but also to be responsible in considering their actions, how that impacts people around them. It says, "I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial." "I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive." See, Paul was a true friend who was willing to share hard truths and wisdom for their benefit. Do you have someone in your life that has your well-being in mind that can say to you, "What you're doing is not good"? See, a true friend will lovingly make you aware of harmful choices or behaviors. Secondly, a wise friend, a true friend, they are concerned for your well-being. Jethro wanted Moses to do well in his soul. As 3 John 1 says, "Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health, and that all may go well with you, even as your soul goes along well." Jethro knew that if Moses continued as he was, it would have done him harm. Who do you turn to, or who do you have that is looking out for you? Who is it that asks you this question, how are you? And brushes past the fine, everything's going good, but then asks a second time, how are you really doing? Sometimes when a friend asks that, we can maybe put our back up a bit and say, why are you asking that? But a good friend would maybe follow up by saying, well, the reason I ask, I've noticed that you've not been yourself recently. I've noticed that things have changed a little bit. Are you okay? That's a true friend. A true friend who is willing to go past the superficial, but is willing to speak into the real you. God sent Jethro to Moses to give him wisdom and good advice. He instructs them, he says, that they are to serve as judges for all the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases they can decide themselves. But this is the reasoning. That will make your load lighter because they will share it with you. Jethro's strategy was to empower leaders to look after the groups according to their capacity. They took the load off Moses. But it also gave the leaders an opportunity to grow with responsibility. Moses respected his father-in-law's wise words, and he took heed. Can I ask you, in your relationships, are you lightening the load, or are you being a burden? See, a true friend, a good friend, will try to lighten the load, will be helpful, that will try to prevent harm, that even when it's difficult, even when it's hard, and if they notice something, they'll still say something because they've got your best interests at heart. Finally, they want you to succeed in the long term. If you do this, and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied. Jethro wanted Moses to not only be successful in his soul, but also in his role. Moses could have continued as he was doing. What he was doing was not sinful. What he was doing, he could have continued. And if he did that, he would have limited his own effectiveness, but also would have prevented others from flourishing and reaching their potential too. Have you ever said something to your child and then had to stop and go, wait a minute, I sound just like my mum and dad? I'll be honest with you, there's been a few moments like that recently. And I've just noticed there's been a shift within me that not only have I taken on the responsibility of fatherhood, that my language and my outlook has shifted as well. And I guess on this point, probably out of them all, I really believe that this is where God wants us all to be. To be people that are not only looking out for our own success, because Jethro realized that the success of Moses would not be if he was doing everything well, but success came when he empowered other people around him. In the context of your family, and even as we look into our church family, are we people who are empowering others, especially the generation that is coming up behind us? You see, I believe that as people of God, as a true friend, as a wise friend, we should be not about only ourselves, but about others. Cheering other people on, encouraging one another, spurring them on, giving them opportunities to flourish. Jethro recognized that long-term success was when everyone was empowered to do more. I believe this is my responsibility. Just recently, a couple of weeks ago actually, we were in Stonehaven. We went for a family walk together. And as we were walking along the shoreline, Daniel got a little bit tired from walking, so I picked him up and I placed him on my shoulders. And down on the ground as he walked there, he could see just a few things around him. But when I lifted him up, he could see so much further. He could see and tell me all the things that was going on all around him. I believe that's a great picture of the culture that we should have in our homes, but also here in our church, that we are people empowering, that we are setting up others to go further than we ever could. I believe that's what God has positioned us here in Apex Church for, and I believe that's an intentional choice that each of us can make. It's not just about me, it's about the others. It's about my children. It's about my grandchildren. It's about my friends. How can I set up others to win? See, a true friend, a wise friend, want you to succeed. Moses was to teach. Jethro tells him, you teach them, share your knowledge, but also instruct them, give them, let them know what their expectations is. Let every group leader, let every judge know this is how you do it. And Jethro throws in this other bit, you take all the difficult cases. He does that on purpose because through that, Moses could demonstrate and show wisdom that all the other judges would learn from. Can I ask you today, who are you walking with? Have you got a Jethro? Maybe you've got more than one Jethro. I would encourage you to get as many as you can. But have you got a wise friend who not only sees the good, but he also sees the things that are not good? A friend who's got your well-being in mind, and a friend who wants you to succeed. I want to ask you today, probably most importantly, that on this journey of life, are you walking with Jesus? See, you don't need to do this journey alone. You don't need to walk through life by yourself. In fact, you can enjoy a relationship, a friendship with Jesus. You see, the Bible says this, that his love for us was demonstrated when he laid down his life for his friends. Jesus died so that he could experience a relationship with you. He wants to be in relationship with you. In fact, he said, I'd rather die than live without you. And when Jesus went to the cross, when he died there, he did that in our place. He took the punishment and the penalty for our sin. You know, sin, all those selfish choices, all those guilt and shame, everything that we've done which has offended God, he took it all. And in that moment upon the cross, he takes the punishment and his blood is shed so that now you can ask God to forgive you of your sin. He promises to forgive you. He promises to give you a new life, a fresh start. And you can enjoy a friendship with Jesus through this life. But not only that, you get to enjoy eternity with him forevermore. I'll ask you again, who are you walking with? Are you walking with Jesus? Maybe for someone today, you're watching me and you need to start that walk. Who are you walking with? See, who you're walking with determines the path that you are on, and ultimately it will lead to that destination. And if you want to be in heaven, if you want to experience eternity with Jesus, then you need to start a friendship with him right now. So if that's you, and you want to start that friendship, just sincerely repeat this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you came into this world, that you went to the cross, you took my place, you shed your blood so that I could be forgiven. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old life. I promise to follow you all the days of my life. I invite your Spirit in. Make me into a new person. I confess you are my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer for maybe the first time, or you use this as an opportunity to make a fresh commitment, then you're continuing or beginning this walk with Jesus, and we want to help you. We want to support you on your walk. So can you let us know? You can send us an email or message, and we'll connect with you, and we'll help you to flourish on your walk with Jesus. But for everyone watching today, one final challenge. Who are you walking with? Have you got a Jethro? Could you aspire to be a Jethro to someone else?